Hey guys, I'm Jackie Brubaker, your host of That Girl, the podcast. I'm an author, performer, two-time Emmy Award winner, human relationship specialist, and founder of the wellness website, loveyouevenmore.com. Each week, I bring on inspiring people and experts in their field to have powerful, motivational, and enlightened conversations about relationships, self-development, and how you can live your most authentic life. Follow us for daily updates on myself and the podcast at That Girl the Podcast and at Jackie Brubaker on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and our Patreon page. While you're at it, make sure to check out my new wellness website, loveyouevenmore.com. If you're wanting to dig into developing more self-worth, be healthier about relationships, and learn how to date smarter, go to loveyouevenmore.com and follow us on Instagram at loveyouevenmore. Welcome, Brian Dunn, to That Girl, the podcast. I'm very excited to have Brian here today. I was like, he's going to kill it. I'm just going to give him the stage. But to give you a little background on Brian, he is a certified dating and relationship coach. This man knows about dating and relationships, guys. We've done clubhouses together, and every time he gets on, I'm like, let the man speak. This is some truth. And his Instagram is amazing. I just love watching your content, and I'm so excited for you to be here so we can talk about five ways to date better, which they're not generic, guys. These are really important points. So Brian, welcome.
Thank you so much, Jackie. It's a pleasure to be here. It's an honor to be on your podcast. And yes, long time no see. We had some great rooms on Clubhouse, and I'm glad you remember me because I'm super excited to be here today, talk to you and all of your audience about dating.
Thank you. So let's just dive into it. Well, actually, I have a question for you first.
Yeah.
So I'm a woman, like I have dated a lot and it's weird out there for women, but like just in your opinion for men, do you think it's just as hard? And if it is, why is it hard for men dating right now?
Yes, I would say it's just as hard, but in different ways. As men and women, we face different obstacles, different challenges within ourselves and within like the dating space. I recently did like a TikTok on a man who started out very fawning over this Tinder match he had. And then when she didn't respond in time, he got very angry and said, threatened to delete her, and then got very belligerent and angry. And it sort of blew up, but like you see hundreds of women in the comments. Yes, red flag, I would block him. And this is why. This was my theory, but seeing in the comments, this is one of the reasons why a lot of women stray away from online dating is after a week or two, just the treatment they receive from men who become very angry or send out a lot of red flags. I know there are some women out there who can be kind of clingy. Why didn't you text back or this or that? Right. So there is some of that on both sides. But I think for women especially, just that sense of safety. And is this person safe to interact with or give my phone number to or meet in public even? So there's much more of a sense of safety and protecting yourself for women, which I think a lot of men unfortunately don't realize or recognize. Mm-hmm. Men, their worst fear on a first date is if she doesn't look like her pictures or she's not, as attractive as he had in his mind. And women, a lot of times they go on first dates. Am I safe? Is he going to be creepy? Or do I need to send, my location information to my best friend or somebody? Yeah. Because there's a lot of different things going on. Even just in the online dating space, about 75% of users are men because of the women get chased away by men treating them poorly. But there's a kind of a big thing that a lot of men think, oh, women have it so easy. And it's because the challenges are different, because women can go online and get, 10, 100 matches pretty quickly. But for men, unless you're in that top 10, 20% of like have a good profile and decent pictures, you're probably not getting very many matches. So they see it as sort of rigged or skewed, and so it's not fair. And they see, it's much harder for men. Men have to approach women in public. Men have to plan dates and pay. And they see all of these things that men have to do, but they don't see or empathize with the other side. And so I think if there was more understanding of what the other side goes through or what they have to deal with on a larger level, I think there would be more understanding and more just a better dating space. Like everybody's like, dating sucks in 2022. I think, right. Yeah.
Gosh, I saw that post of yours and I did comment on that. And that is what was happening to me, is that I would jump on Hinge or something and I would jump so fast off because these guys were getting so aggressive and didn't think I was a real person. They thought I was a bot. They were threatening to report me. And, you know, God forbid I had a video chat with them and I decided this wasn't going to be a match. They were so angry. They thought I used them. I'm like, I jumped on a FaceTime with you for an hour, maybe. And it wasn't a match. But I think on the female side of it too, it's like, if you're a girl who's, or a woman who is I've got my shit together. I'm a normal person. I'm just here to have a good conversation. And you have a good conversation with the guy. They're like, whoa, where does this exist? I haven't had a lot of this, which I get it. But then they get so much more invested in it. It's like kind of jumping the gun of oh, this is something because I felt so good in the conversation and she made me feel like she was really listening, which, yeah, you should be listening in your conversations on both sides. Everyone should make them, each other feel good. But they would get really angry and aggressive. So I was like, I am not doing this anymore. I am going to meet someone in real life. And I did. So it happens. It actually can happen. But
it happens.
Let's talk about your 5 points on how to date better, because they're brilliant. And it's really there are so many people out there who are men and women who are just like, I am not doing this online app thing anymore. I just can't, either they're Tinder swindlers or they're crazy pants or they're, all kinds of issues, which, yeah, a lot of people have issues and they're trying to date at the same time. It happens. Not everyone is like, I'm perfectly worked out, just looking for my soulmate. So let's talk about your very first talking point.
Yes. So I think all of these come down to being more intentional with dating and not just saying, I haven't met the right person yet. I'm waiting for fate's destiny to drop them in my lap and then everything will work itself out. We're not really taught relationships. We see the relationship our parents have, and then that's usually the one that's biggest in our mind as far as our model for how we relate to and we act in relationships, or the view we have of the world despite everything we see on TV and in the movies. Mm-hmm. But it's a skill. Relationships are a skill. Communication is a skill. There's a lot of work that goes into the self to be better and show up better in relationships. So the first point I have is mindset and expectations. And one of my kids is on the table, so excuse any extra noise. So mindset and expectations. So just looking at the stories and beliefs we tell ourselves about ourselves or about dating might be a limiting belief. I know one of the limiting beliefs I had very early on after my divorce was, I'm old and gray and I'm divorced and I have kids. Who's going to want to date me? Everyone wants someone who's younger or less gray or cooler or somebody with the clean slate.
You're very cool.
to start a family with. So just kind of that was holding me back in certain ways. So just looking at our stories and beliefs we tell ourselves, that could be, there's no good women out there. There's no good men out there. This is how it is. And so it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I think we need to understand that dating is a process. There's no guarantees. But if we're enjoying the process and we're open to what can happen, I think a lot can happen. A lot of great things can happen. I forgot who said it, but I'm sure it was, come to me as soon as this is over, but someone had this quote about expectations, and now I'm forgetting the quote, but basically expectations is the higher your expectation, the worse things are going to be, because you're just setting yourself up for failure. Oh, this is the first date. They look so good on paper. And the date falls flat because you had expectations up here, or you had a great video call. And then in person, they're very different, or things turn out different. And so it's that expectation. So if we can have a more realistic expectation, a first date is just to have fun, get a vibe for the person, and see if we want to go on a second date. First date is not, all right, do you hit all of my 32 checkpoints for my future partner? Okay, now we can do X, Y, Z and get married. I think just that mindset of what dating is, what it should be, and enjoying the process of getting to know people. For me, dating was fun because I was married for many, many years and I got to go out and meet new people. But if you see dating as a chore or a drag and just kind of the obstacle preventing you from the life you do want, and you're not enjoying your life being single, you're not enjoying meeting people, because it's a failure if it doesn't work out after a date or two. Then you are sort of seeing, I think, the process as like just a chore or a job or a transaction to get something. Whereas the process itself, it's like, it's not about the destination, it's the journey getting there. So I think, yeah, it comes down to mindset and just really enjoying the process of dating.
I very much agree with this. A lot of people are so scared that either they're not going to meet someone or that all the great ones are taken. That's a really common belief. And like, listen, that's something I thought too for a second. I was like, oh no, he's definitely buried. but there's that. And then also, yeah, just people are different on first dates. First dates aren't always like these magical things. And, you know, something I kept in mind too was like, if you feel crazy butterflies, like, oh my gosh, my whole body is like on, it's usually not a good sign. It's usually you're just getting super, super triggered and something feels extremely familiar. So like when you go on a first date with someone, man, if you guys just have some stuff in common and you feel comfortable with him or her, this is a good first date and you should go on a second. Like, do not wait for bells and whistles and butterflies and, oh my gosh, I just feel amazing. Like, maybe you'll feel good, like good, but yeah, anything else is definitely a big trigger warning. And I think a lot of people expect the fairy tale.
Yes, it's the Hollywood, it's the Disney romance. But yeah, you're so right with that. The butterflies and that spark can often be either they're charismatic with everyone, or that's your anxious attachment style getting triggered, or some kind of something getting triggered and feels familiar. But like you said, if it's more comfortable and you have things in common and it's just a fun time, then that's a good sign. But yeah, if you do have those butterflies and it's more of the anxious and that feels familiar because you're used to that, then that's something to be wary of. And that's actually the next point.
It's your next point, I know. Let's get into your next point.
Okay. So the next point is just self-awareness of your own dating patterns, habits, and especially attachment style, because whether you're secure or anxious avoidant or avoidant, that can play a lot into how you are perceiving like the objective reality subjectively through your lens. So that's overcoming patterns and any self-sabotaging you're doing. If you are an avoidant attachment style and things start to get serious and you need more space, you may be self-sabotaging even though you say you want a relationship by pushing the other person away because that doesn't feel comfortable. So recognizing those personal red flags, your own potential emotional visitor, emotional unavailability. So this is one of them who's apparently lonely right now.
He has two baby cats. Oh, she's so cute. She's like, Dad.
So that self-awareness. So just doing the attachment style quiz, learning if this is something that's getting in your way, being able to look back at some potentially past relationships. Do you have different sorts of patterns or cycles you keep repeating that looks familiar? I worked with somebody once who her last three relationships were long distance relationships that she met just like in Las Vegas or Chicago or somewhere. Yeah. For her, that was sort of a way of putting a buffer because that way it couldn't be real. She couldn't have like the real day-to-day kind of relationship. And all of those lasted only like 1 or 2 or 3 months. But that was a way to keep distance there. And that was her pattern. So are these things you keep repeating or these beliefs you have, are they serving you or are they sort of self-sabotaging you in some way? And so being able to be self-aware and course correct. Oh, I would normally act this way because I took that quiz and I'm an anxious attachment style person. So I'm not going to overcorrect. What I'm thinking is just a story, and the story isn't necessarily true of what I'm telling myself about what he or she is doing in the past few days that they haven't texted back. They're not off getting married to someone else, having a third family in another state. It's just they're busy with work. So being able to be aware of that in yourself and self-soothe, self-calm when those kinds of things come up.
Yeah, I have certainly been going through a lot of that. So there was a Clubhouse you weren't actually on and we missed you, but it was all on attachment theory. And I hadn't taken the test in like 8 years. So when I took it, I was avoidant. I was a little avoidant anxious avoidant. little blend of both, but more avoidant than not. And so, you know, I jump on this Clubhouse and everyone's like, well, I used to be anxious, but now I'm securely attached. And I was like, what? Wait, hold on. What is everyone talking about? Like, let me take the quiz again. So I did while we were in the Clubhouse and like people are speaking, I'm speaking. I'm like, hold on, I'm almost done. Turns out I am securely attached, which is a lovely, lovely place to be. But I, you know, I didn't think that that could change. And while there is a part of me that thinks I will always feel a little triggered with my avoidant anxious attachment, what you just described is exactly what I've had to go through with healthy relationships is this is an old story that is very lodged in my brain, which makes me feel avoidant or anxious at times. And this doesn't mean that that person is doing what someone else did. And now while we should all be cautious and that's why dating happens, we're getting to know people, we're giving it, we're just getting time under the belt, right? You know, let's get lots and lots of time in this relationship. That is the hardest and most scary part of any new relationship with dating is having these old stories come up thinking, like you said, oh, you know, he or she hasn't texted me in 3 days. Like it's over. I did something wrong. Like if you're anxious, you're like, what did I do wrong? If you're avoidant, you're like, cool. Thank you anyway. Bye. like I didn't need you anyway. But really like stopping those stories in their tracks and being like, is this real or is this a story? Do I have real facts right now to make this true? Or is this just an old story?
Yes, definitely. And I love your point about your attachment style can change. That can come through therapy or just knowing yourself better, building up your self-worth in other areas through relationships with people who are more secure or just whatever sort of work you do on yourself to realize that you can self-soothe or be okay in different sorts of situations, even just the practice of practicing better communication, better boundaries with people. And some of those beliefs like might be the other person, or like I mentioned for me, it might be your own limiting belief about what you deserve or what you don't. So it's just catching that, being that self-aware person and knowing, okay, I'm going to correct this because my gut instinct is to do this. So I'm going to try this other thing. There is kind of a very large pendulum swing that kind of annoys me, but like if he wanted to, he would, or if they wanted to, they would. And it's going from like accepting whatever behavior to zero tolerance. But I think in those cases, like come back to the middle. Maybe they can't read your mind. Maybe they don't have like the relationship skills to know what you need in that moment or know about your anxious attachment style, or maybe they're busy at work or they have other things going on. So rather than block and delete and move on, so rather than having that zero tolerance mindset of, oh, I'm out, you know, they should have known better, they should have done better. I think that's a really good learning moment, kind of teachable moment or a growth moment to be able to say, talk to them and say, hey, you know, and I had a friend who went through this. Her normal reaction would be to like walk away or put up with it. But I told her, rather than having a great date every weekend and then being all anxious and upset during the week that he's not texting you, either text him or the next time you see him, tell him how it feels when you don't hear from him all week. You know, maybe he's busy with his, you know, job working 12-hour days, but at least give them the chance by communicating, hey, I would really love to hear from you like once every other day or something, just to maintain that connection in between these great dates we're having. Yeah. Give them a chance to step up and be able to fulfill that need, or say, you know, if that's not for them or they're not up for that or they're not seeing the relationship going in that direction, build that communication skill and the ability within yourself to have those conversations, because that's going to be important from like day one, you know, 10, 20 years in, you're still going to need to be able to have those kinds of conversations.
Yeah. And people really do need to start that from day one. And if anything, I found that I learned so much about myself and my self-worth by asking questions of people that I was just casually dating. Like, reaching out, like you said, is such an important, and it's very brave too. It's not like you should be scared. I mean, we're all scared of losing someone we like, right? Especially if it's new and you're like, oh my gosh, I never meet anyone and they're great. Like, I understand the fear and we all have it, but it is so much better to know, is this person just busy or are they just not into me? And if they're not, that's okay. There's a reason. it's cool. It's like half the time I think, you know, if you are doing work on yourself and you're showing up and as the best you can, and it doesn't click, that's fine. It doesn't mean that you did anything wrong. Again, for everyone listening who thinks, oh no, it's me, you know, it's really just a matter of two people aligning. So I love the attachment theory. I'm going to have that in the show notes for anyone who wants to take the test, because it is very important to understand where you're coming from and how you approach relationships and how people mirror back to you what's going on. It's just, it's very deep. And also doing the work is really important, guys. Do the work. What is your next point?
Well, actually, I wanted to touch on something you said, which was really great there, is going on dates and being okay with the date not working out. Just that, going back to the first point, the mindset of a date is still successful even if there's no second date. If you showed up and you were your authentic self for as much as you can be in that, you know, kind of nervous, awkward first date, but just showing up and having fun and being yourself and going through the process, that in and of itself is a success. So if you are of the mindset that any first date that doesn't go to a second date or second to third, whatever, if you see those as failures, then you're going to be failing all the time and that's getting you down. So just enjoying the process, understanding that it's okay that not everybody is going to be a match. And it's okay that not everybody is a match, because you're not for everyone. This kind of, you know, you could be friends with a lot of people, but this is a very particular, you're looking for someone like super special, super compatible on your wavelength. So just accepting and having the mindset that, yeah, it's fine. We had a great time and I'm happy now that we met and got it out of the way and we weren't quite a match, but that's okay. Now I can, I'm one step closer to someone who is going to be a match.
And also that really kind of blends into two different things. One, not settling, guys. Like, don't settle. Don't go like, oh, they have like almost all the qualities. Like, I'm talking values, really deep stuff that you need to make a relationship work, right? But the other thing is too, when you do reach out and you do have communication, this actually kind of helps with ghosting to not happen. Not, I mean, I can't guarantee it won't, but at least you're so cute. At least you're getting the information and you're not sitting there wondering what happened. And I just know so many people are like, I just wish I knew. And if you just ask and get the information, you can move on a lot quicker and maybe it'll be information that you can use to help you in the future.
Yes. And then that's such a great point, because that ties back into that. If you wanted to, you would. Well, you can text first. You can be the one to say, hey, I wasn't feeling a match there, not sitting at home wondering, and then respond. Yeah. Even though you've already made up your mind, I think there can be a lot more communication, healthy communication from both sides in the whole process.
I was going to say, I always had this, you know, this way of letting people down that was really, I thought it was pretty kind. I would have appreciated it for more people. But basically I would just tell them like, hey, you know, it was really great to get to know you. And I think you're lovely, but I just don't feel a romantic connection. Or a strong enough a romantic connection to move forward. And I just wish you all the best. And I know someone wonderful is waiting for you as well. And, you know, a lot of people took it well. Some people did not take it so well, but more people than not took it well. So I always feel like have something written in your phone ready to go. So you don't have to think about it too much. It's just a very simple, in fact, I'll put that in the show notes as well, what I say. It's just, it's kind and it's, you know, thoughtful. And it's the truth. And it's very succinct.
And I think the first few times are scary for people dating. But once you do it a few times, then it's like, oh, yeah, nothing. Sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes they don't react well. But usually it's like thank you, or you don't hear back. But it kind of gives yourself closure and you feel good about having done the right thing in that situation.
Yeah, completely. Okay, so going into your next point, what is that?
Yes. And you just did a perfect segue a minute ago about like knowing what it is you want, because my third point is knowing what you want, what your non-negotiables are versus nice to haves, and being intentional about what it is you're looking for. So some people are on one end of the spectrum where they're just looking for the right person and they haven't really thought much about what that means for them. Yeah. Other people might have like a 92-point checklist that's very specific down to like height and eye color and hairstyle and this and that, where just looking at that might be okay when you're 22 and it's not super serious, but if you are, you know, in your 30s or 40s, some of those things are more superficial, but you want to know what is important for relationship, what is important for my lifestyle, what I want out of life, what are my values. And so taking the time to have a list of, you know, 20, 30 things maybe that you would like to have in a partner, and then looking at what's kind of non-negotiable, maybe 5 or 10, maybe 12 at the most of those versus nice to haves. Like maybe you are creative and you paint or you draw or you sing or something, and you want somebody else who's creative. Do they need to be a painter with an art degree, or can they just enjoy going to the museum and enjoy whatever, you know, foreign films you like to watch? So where is that range? The more specific you are, the more difficult it's going to be to find someone to fit that. Maybe your value in that example is just someone who is open and creative and enjoys art and creative things. But for a long-term relationship, you don't need to both be opera singers or painters. The communication, like your life values, what you want out of life, your children, travel, kind of finances, those are the things that are more important for those long-term relationships. So just kind of being very specific about that and going into dates to be able to screen for and know, this is how I want to feel in a relationship. I don't want to feel anxious, like I don't know what's going on or they're keeping me in the dark. I do want somebody who's XYZ and treats me this kind of way. So that allows you to do some reflection on the past. What past relationships did you like? How did you like how you felt or how you were treated or didn't? And take that in the future. So you can have this mental checklist, this paper checklist of, does this person match up with the kind of person I want to be with? And that can be different for everyone. It may be mental health. There may be active fitness and taking care of your body and nutrition. It might be creative or travel, or somebody wants to stay at home and take care of, you know, a family of 10 kids. Whatever you're looking for, that's going to be important for you. And that's why I like, but I also don't like never settle, because settle for what? Don't settle for somebody who's not going to treat you well and isn't compatible with you in your life. But if you have a 92-point checklist, you're going to have to filter that down and figure out what's actually important for you. Yeah. And settle for somebody who's aligned on the important things, maybe doesn't have, you know, the exact, you know, eye color and hairstyle that you want, but it's still good in many other ways.
I agree with this completely. I've heard it like from all angles where people are like, you get two things from your list. And I'm like, wow, that seems pretty short. Like, I think you get a few more things than two. And then I've also heard people who are with the 92-point checklist and it's impossible. Like, you're probably avoidant because your list is so long.
Yes.
But no, you're right. I think it's the values and your morals. Do you guys get along? I loved the creative example. Like, I'm a highly creative person, but my partner is creative in different ways. We are not alike at all like that, but he can support me and I can support him. And it's just complementary. And I think that's kind of what works a little bit more, is being complementary to each other and at least respecting and appreciating what the other person does and supporting them in that. And with physicality, I mean, I don't know. I hear more women than not say this, and I think this is very interesting. It's always about the personality more so than what they look like. Now, listen, like, you know, it depends on what your type is and all of the things, but I don't have a real type. The type I have, I've dated once, and the rest of them look nothing alike. I've dated all of the colors of the rainbow. I've taken all the gamuts, and it just came down to energy and personality and compatibility. So I think when people are like, no, I really want to be with this type, blah, 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 that might look great on a picture if you're scanning the dating apps and you're like, oh, there's my type. But then you read their profile or you get to know them and they're nothing like what you actually need. So, and I'm saying this especially for my men out there, because I know you guys have a very specific idea of what you want. And I understand, I appreciate that. But like, if you get a couple of those like physical qualities, fantastic. But look for the girl, like look for the actual woman inside and who's going to make you really genuinely happy. Because the happiest couples I see aren't like thinking, well, I mean, maybe this is too broad to say, but I think they're not really thinking like, wow, he and she is so hot every single day. I mean, maybe they do, but like most of the time we're just like, I feel so loved. I just feel so loved and I love this person and we're just so happy. That's what they're thinking about, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. In 5, 10, 20, 30 years down the line, I mean, you're going to look very different, but is a person inside still somebody you want to wake up to and have conversations with every day?
Exactly. All right. What is your next point? Is this your last point or do we have more
points? Two more. Okay. So next point is dating as a skill. Dating is a skill and it's something, there's no class in high school. You know, we got shop class and home ec and algebra and whatever, but there's no real dating as a skill that we learn. But it comes down to conversation and questions and being able to have a good conversation, especially being able to talk about and ask about the kinds of things that get to what your values and your needs are that we talked about in the last point. But also kind of what chemistry is and what chemistry looks like. Communication, we talked about being able to voice your needs and boundaries. And everybody knows red flags, but understanding red flags, but also green flags. Just because somebody doesn't necessarily have any red flags, are there specific green flags for you and your values and relationship potential that you can look for?
I love that. What are some green flags that you look for?
I look for emotional intelligence, which I think is huge, not just in dating, but like friendships and the business world and anywhere. That's something we talked about earlier, just how people react on dating apps when things don't happen exactly in that time frame. They get angry, and that shows very, you know, a lot of immaturity, a lot of lack of emotional intelligence, emotional security. But emotional intelligence, just back and forth, accepting of boundaries or things that come up as dating as a parent. If you have schedule comes up and you can communicate, hey, this happened, I'm going to have to ask you kindly to, can we reschedule because this came up? Are they understanding, accepting, or do things get turned into like discussions or arguments? Luckily, I've been very fortunate, but there were a few times where red flags in the communication or just like a non-compatible communication style. And I just realized early on, oh, I'm not feeling really good through this texting interaction. I'm not going to take this into a date. Mm-hmm. Just because I think whether it's astrology or Myers-Briggs or whatever it is, people have different personalities. Not everyone's going to mesh or match. So I think someone with a similar or compatible communication style is good. Another one would be, goes along with emotional intelligence, but if schedule changes or there's a boundary in place or there's sort of a misunderstanding, or even if you're at a restaurant and they don't have your reservation or if something bad happens, do they take it in stride or does it turn into a big thing? For me, at least, like being able to roll with the punches and having being able to be calm and just kind of go with the flow, mm-hmm. And not get worked up about things that aren't super important. For me, that's also a green flag, is somebody who has more of an even keel emotionally. Some people may like, I need somebody who will go up there and demand a table or do whatever. And that's fine. Yeah. And that's something that maybe somebody else wants. But yeah, for me, a green flag is being able to have things come up and still be okay.
I love that. That's actually a phrase a lot of people have been talking about recently, which is going with the flow. It's a little bit out of context what you're talking about, but I've seen this a lot. Like when a guy says, I just want to go with the flow. Can I ask you, as a man, what does that mean when a man says that, in your opinion?
Yes. And actually, I was thinking that as I said it, I almost gave a disclaimer, but I'm glad you brought this up. For me, the context I meant was, you go to a restaurant and they don't have your reservation, or they're closed because you didn't check and they're closed on Tuesdays. Can you just be okay with finding another restaurant, or do you have to have a little temper tantrum or be upset for a minute? The go with the flow, you're talking about like in their dating app profile, or just, yeah, I just want someone who's chill and yeah, laid back and just wants to go with the flow. That is sort of code word. That's like dating speak for not looking for anything serious, looking for benefits of a relationship type of deal without like the commitment or the accountability of communication and taking care of each other's emotional needs. Mm-hmm. So basically just doesn't care who's going to be laid back and doesn't get mad if I don't text for a week and then we can just pick up where we left off. So kind of leaving off of the accountability and investment in the relationship, but still wanting the benefits of having someone to spend time with.
Right. And as a man, because I know as a woman what we feel like when we hear that, as a man, like, these guys saying this are obviously non-committal and, like, clearly not looking for anything specific. So I just going to ask you. I had an idea, and it was now I just went gone. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add to that?
I think this is one of the areas for especially new daters or people who get divorced and they get back into the dating scene. Yes. Just like understanding or reading between the lines of things like go with the flow or just looking for fun. Mm-hmm. I think those are the kinds of things that it's important to understand before you get into the situation where you don't know what it means. Oh yeah, go with the flow. I'm very easygoing. I don't put up a fuss. But then you're 3 months into a situationship and well, we were just going with the flow. So I think it's important to kind of get your bearings and know what's going on. Like I mentioned, just looking for fun. Fun is like just somebody to hook up with, someone to have sex with. So just kind of looking at the words people use, and it's not as easy to come out and say, I just want somebody to have sex with now and then. You know, that's totally fine, whatever somebody wants. But, you know, whatever people are looking for is fine. But just being understanding what people are saying and being able to be consensual, you know, consenting to whatever arrangement you are agreeing to get into by dating somebody.
Yeah. I mean, we could do a whole podcast on situationships because that is a topic there. Maybe we'll bring you back on and we'll do a situationship talk, but I think it's kind of sad. It's hurting a lot of people, these situationships. It's very rare that two people are really on the same page of just having fun. But that is for another day. All right, what is your next topic?
Well, before that, I think that goes back to the communication we talked about and not sitting around hoping that the man brings up the I love you word or being in a relationship, being able to communicate because you don't want to just be waiting forever for somebody. I've heard stories of people 1-2 years in and they haven't heard I love you or they don't know what the relationship is. So just practicing those communication skills, if it's something you want, rather than saying, what are we saying? Hey, I've been loving getting to know you and this is what I'm hoping for. Are we on the same path at least, even if we may be moving at slightly different speeds? Is this something you also want? So I think there's back to the communication skills. That's something that's super important to protect yourself and not waste time. But on that, the last point, so I want to talk about knowing where you get stuck and being able to work on that. So similar to if you're job hunting, if you never get any calls back, maybe you got to work on your resume or you get that first interview or second interview, but it doesn't progress from there. Kind of knowing what you need to work on and being able to either work on that or look up some blogs or YouTube videos or work with a coach to help with those interview skills, whatever that is. In dating, it's very similar. So if you are stuck not getting any matches on the apps, that's probably your profile. And maybe work with somebody to tune up your profile or even ask a friend, like, how do I come off in these pictures in this bio? If you get first dates, or if you get matches, but they don't turn into dates, like what's going on in between in those conversations? You get a lot of first dates, but not a lot of second dates, which was one of my main problems, like my first year after my divorce. That's something like what's happening on the first date. Is it who you're screening or bringing in? Is it how you are on those dates? Are you being too safe and not showing any, you know, expressing any desire or attraction or building any chemistry? Are you getting 1 month in and then things fall off because you're again maybe screening for the wrong people or not communicating or have some other sort of blind spot or attachment style thing coming up? So being able to look back again, back to self-awareness, see where do you need to work on and then working on that specific thing. That can be very entry level. Kiddie pool is like following Instagram accounts and hearing things now and then. But then like the next level would be a book and like getting a book or two on dating, but there's no accountability there. You sort of read it and then maybe something will stick, but you're not necessarily going to move forward with that. But like the next level would be working with a therapist or a dating coach or somebody to help you get past whatever is keeping you stuck. And I suggest this not just because I'm a coach, but I've also worked with the coach and I know high performers, whether it's CEOs or athletes, whatever it is, high performers, they know they can admit their weak spots and they want to perform better in that area. Mm-hmm. So they're going to get help running a company or with their training, with their nutrition or with their interview skills because they want to get a good job. So being able to reach out for help and say, this is something I'm really intentional about. This is something I want for my life. And I could do it on my own, but this will save me so much time and effort because you've been through it all and you know the pitfalls and you've probably made all the mistakes I'm making. So we can do this in a very short amount of time, or I can continue with this cycle because I don't know what I'm doing and I don't know what my blind spots are.
Yes, that's such a valid point. Get help, guys. You don't have to do this alone. You don't have to sort of take years and years like figuring it out. There are people to help. There are books to help. But I think the number one thing that, you know, like you said, like high performers go to coaches to get help. They're like, we know we're good, but we could be better. And how do I do that? How do you do that? And that's the same thing with dating. I will say, like, you know, when I see a dating profile of someone who has like, they've had pictures taken by a photographer, or they look really like they're just flattering and they're a good variety of, you know, a guy not holding a fish up. I don't know. It's like those things work. It's like helpful to feel like, oh, this guy's putting like the time and effort into a profile because he's serious. Again, if you're not serious for something, then like get the guy with the fish. It's fine. But really taking the time to look inward at who you are and what blind spots you have. And again, that's what's so great about going on first and second dates is that sometimes you see it mirrored back to you quickly. You're like, oh, I see what I might be like. I might need to improve upon in my first dates. I know for me, I used to have a lot of anxiety with first dates and I would just get super nervous and it wasn't fun. They were not fun. There's not fun. And I just had to really do a lot of work on with my inner child, to be honest, and be like, what do you need? Like, what can I do to make you feel safe? And it was simply, I mean, this is my personal example, but it was just simply like, if I don't feel comfortable, I can leave. That's it. And you can, like, if you're having a bad first date with someone and you need to like leave, just go. Like, you don't have to really explain too much. Just be like, hey, I don't feel good. I have to go. Cause you don't, you literally don't. That's just an example. But yes, like seeing what's happening on your first and second dates and what you can improve upon is huge. And you don't have to think like, oh, well, nobody loves me. This is never going to work. I'm going to be single forever. Like, do some work and see if it actually helps. It probably will.
Call Brian. Definitely. And sometimes those first dates are a little nerve-wracking. It can be nervous. So as long as there weren't a lot of red flags and you feel good about the person, and so it's worth doing a second date. Sometimes it does take two or three dates for people to open up. As an introvert myself, that was one of my things. Actually, what I worked with the coach on was I had just out of luck and having friends with nice cameras, I had decent pictures. I had a nice bio. I was okay at like flirting and bantering on the texts leading up to the date. But first dates for me were, I wanted to be a super gentleman and it was very platonic and surface level and, you know, was hard, having difficulty creating chemistry. And so a lot of dates ended up in, I'm not really feeling a connection. And it was sort of, for me, the relationships I had were where the other person was super into me and just things sort of fell into place. But I wanted to be able to have more of a proactive role. And like, this is somebody I'm really into. This is kind of how I want to be able to express myself and go after what I want more. So learning about chemistry, getting past my own limiting belief that I talked about earlier and getting past that in order to be comfortable enough to do a little flirting and whatever and build chemistry on dates. So the people I was more interested in, I would have more of a chance to like try and build that connection rather than hoping they were super into me and gave me that second date. So just knowing where it is in the process. And I love your example of your inner child and going back to like, why am I feeling so anxious on these dates and building that safety for yourself and being able to approach those first dates from a safer place where you could be yourself rather than coming from a place of fear and just kind of feeling unsafe in those situations.
Absolutely. I think there is some major gold in this conversation. You have given some incredible points, some really solid real life dating advice where people, I hope you're listening and thinking, finally, finally, I've got some really good tips I can actually put into use. And like, I think dating can feel hard, if you make it feel hard. And I think that's essentially what you started off with, is talking about, like, you can make this whatever kind of journey you want it to be. So if you want to do some work on yourself and figure out, like, you know, what you actually need instead of sort of mindlessly wandering into the dating pool, do it. You know, create a space in you where you're happy no matter who's with you or if you're alone. I mean, that's the key right there, is if you're happy alone, you will be more likely to meet someone who's great for you because you're not coming from a place of desperation. I actually want to say that real quick too. Men and women, if you're coming from a place of desperation, guys, people are going to feel it. It's not good. It's not good. It's like a repellent that just suddenly, like, you feel it and it repels people. So if you do feel like you're coming from a place of desperation, then it's definitely time to sort of, like, come back into you, really look at you and do your work, keep doing the work. Cause if you aren't happy in you, the desperation's going to come off and it's a bad cycle. So is there anything that you would like to end off on? Anything that we need to know before we leave?
I love what you just said there. And it takes me back to, I know everybody says this nowadays, but Jerry Maguire ruined this generation of people. We have to unlearn that, you complete me. And So to your point, we need to be complete. We don't have to be 100% perfect. No one's 100% perfect, but being happy and complete in our lives and satisfied and have a great life going, so that when we meet somebody, we're adding to that and not filling a void. Because like you said, if you're trying to fill a void or feel like you're not enough or incomplete without somebody, and having somebody will complete your life, make you happy, then you're always going to be dependent on their approval, their validation, and you're going to be, just dependent on them. So being able to be secure in yourself and approach dating from that way is a much healthier place to approach it from, and you'll have much better results, because like you said, people can smell that desperation and kind of get those red flags. Let's get to know each other before we, plan 6 months out and all this.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Brian, please come back anytime. Come back and talk about situationships. You are always welcome on the podcast. Tell people how they can find you.
Thank you. Yes. So I am on Instagram and TikTok at Mr. Brian C. Dunn, Brian with an I. And my website is briancdunn.com. You can reach out to me through social media, through the website. I have on my website different in-depth guides, first date guides, video date guides, because we had the pandemic. People are doing this video thing for a while. Communication, recovering after divorce. I have some stuff about sex and intimacy and all of that kind of stuff. Articles for men on how to be attractive as a man and, like, skills every man needs to know. So a lot of different things there, but feel free to reach out to me there. And I do one-on-one coaching. I'm building a group coaching class right now for dating after divorce. It's kind of a big undertaking, so it might take a bit, but this is like the next thing that I'm working on. Okay. Maybe a podcast in the future. I want to get at least the one coaching program done and ready to go. I would love to. If I have a podcast in the future, you'd be one of my first guests. I'd love to have one. But it's been a pleasure talking here today. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Everything will be in the show notes, guys. Click on the links. Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you, Jackie. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. Remember, sharing is caring. Make sure to rate the podcast and leave a review. We really rely on this to help get the podcast out there. Also, make sure to watch the video version on YouTube at That Girl the Podcast.